Padre Pio loved God from early childhood, but did he always want to become a priest, or did he struggle with that decision? Stay tuned to find out. Ave mundis pes Maria. Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're joining us for the first time or returning, we're glad you're here, especially because I have something special to share. On February 11th, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, your intentions will be brought to Lourdes and entrusted to Our Lady in prayer. All you need to do is enroll your intentions using the link in the description below. There's no cost, so don't miss this opportunity. Now let's move on to our story. Today's story comes from the book Padre Pio, the Saint of the Third Millennium by Olivo Cesca. It takes place before Padre Pio entered the Franciscan order, during the years when his father was working in America. For that reason, he is still called Francesco here, his baptismal name. Here's the story. Francesco's father had sailed to America to find work, leaving his wife and children behind in their small Italian town. An ocean now lay between them, and communication was slow. But his heart was always with his family, his village, and his land back home. Francesco, the only one in the household who knew how to write, became the bridge between his father and the family. In his letters, he spoke about his studies, his mother's work, his older brother, and his sisters. He reported on the crops and the harvests, and he reassured his father that he prayed constantly to Our Lady so that everything would go well and that he might return home safe and sound. Each letter ended the same way, a request for his father's blessing, signed simply, "Your most obedient son." Now and then, a check would arrive from America. Since cashing it required a signature at the post office, that responsibility always fell to Francesco. It was hard-earned money, and the father insisted it be used carefully. Whenever he suspected unnecessary expenses, he did not hesitate to complain. But here is where the heart of the story lies. It was during this same period that Francesco was struggling with the idea of a religious vocation. His early enthusiasm faded, growing weak and uncertain. He wanted to give himself completely to God, and yet he didn't. He had the feeling that he was being forced into making that choice, and that if it were up to him, he would gladly stay home. Think about that for a moment. This is the future saint who spoke with Jesus, who saw Our Lady, who conversed with his guardian angel, and yet he still felt the seductive pull of the world. At home, life could be comfortable. In the convent, he was warned, there would be sacrifices, penances, and suffering, and his instincts rebelled against it. So when his teacher, Professor Cacavo, invited him on a pilgrimage to the Marian Sanctuary in Pompeii, Francesco didn't hesitate. The trip cost just a handful of lire. They traveled by cart, and it gave Francesco some time away to reflect. When his father found out about the small expense, he scolded him sharply. "While I am here working myself to the bone," he wrote, "the boy spends money on excursions." Francesco, only 15 years old at the time, replied as calmly and respectfully as he could. "Regarding the complaint you made to Mama about my going to Pompeii, there are 1,000 reasons to make it. But you should consider that next year, God willing, all festivities and amusements will come to an end for me, because I am going to leave this life to embrace another, better one." The good father understood and never brought it up again. Soon after, he began making plans to return to Italy. He urged his wife to take Francesco to their local priest for guidance, and he told her to prepare a jug of wine, because on the Feast of Our Lady next year, I will be in Italy. And with that, the story concludes. This account shows us not just a saint in the making, but a real son, a brother, the family's scribe and banker. We see his deep humanity. But most of all, we see the weight of his decision, the difficulty, the resistance, the genuine temptation of an easier path. But these weren't signs of weak faith. They were the very conditions for a true free choice. Without resistance, there can be no truly free decision. Where there is no tempting alternative, no interior struggle, there is no real offering of the will. It sometimes seems to me that God presents his path as the harder one precisely so that we may choose it freely. God doesn't lure us in, he wants us to choose him. This story reminds us that even Padre Pio wrestled with God's call. And that is precisely what makes his yes so meaningful. It was not automatic, it was not effortless. It was freely given. And that is exactly how God desires our response to be. Thank you for watching. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you, and we'll see you in the next video.